Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah. We're in chapter 40. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Whenever you put something in front of you that comes before God. If it's more important to you than God, then that's your idol. And you've said, that's what I'm going to love more. That's what I'm going to give my life to. No, it says in verse 20, he that is so impoverished chooses a piece of wood, and he seeks out one of those workmen to do his image making. He says in verse 21, have ye not known, have ye not heard, hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth that stretcheth out the heavens. That's who he is. That's his contrivance. Listen to this. It says he stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Not only do we have in this verse alone the fact that the earth is a circular object, it is not flat, it is round, but we also have here that it's like a tent. Because if you go too far up, you're going to be in a really bad place. It's like a vacuum and it's freezing and it's not hospitable to life. There's no reason we ought to be here. We are the favored planet because God made a tent over this piece of dirt. And we stand in a tent running around saying, man, this is pretty cool. We're flying through space at a bunch of miles an hour. Can't tell you. I don't memorize those facts. But they tell us, and we're spinning. And we're not flying off. What's that all about? It's crazy. But God's contrivances boggle the mind. A curtain and a tent. Amazing, right? You can be comforted in knowing that. The Bible says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood? And of all people that should have understood it, it was the Israelites, because they were the ones that were given the Sabbath day, that on 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested, not day ages. You know how I know that? I know that because the Bible tells us that Jesus came from a line that goes directly back to Adam. And God lays His whole reputation out for inspection. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. The Bible says, this is the God who sits upon the circle of the earth. He's the one that gives us a tent to dwell in down here on this ball of dirt. Makes it as a curtain, keeping us shielded from sun and inhospitable, even meteorite pieces that come through. The Bible says it is He, verse 23, that brings the princes to nothing. Now that's what you need to hear today. I don't care who's in the White House. God's on the throne. And He brings these people to nothing. You want some comfort today about the nonsense that's going on in our world and about that which is on the horizon that we can postulate is coming our way soon? The Bible says that God brings the princes to nothing. He maketh judges of the earth as vanity. You know, Nancy Pelosi has already submitted her letter to solicit the position of being the Speaker of the House for another 2 years. There's a little bit of a fight on the battleground there in this House, but do you know she's 80 years old? 80. That's amazing, isn't it? Think about that. She was born in 1940. And this woman looks like maybe 50 because of all of the surgery she's had. And she acts like a giddy cheerleader kid on the high school thing. Oh, you know, and we got the 25th Amendment, and just stick around, or 24th Amendment. We'll get Trump, but literally they're going after Biden. Get rid of him, and then you've got Kamala. Oh, dear Kamala. If this happens as we see it coming, it could be really bad. The Bible says, though, that God brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be sown, they shall not take root, and he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. No matter how much surgery one has, everyone's going to wither. And that answers directly back up to verse 6, where the Bible says, cry out to my people, what shall I cry? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It says in verse 25, To whom then will you liken me? So we know we're still under this idea of his counsel and his contrivances and how he does things. To whom then shall you liken me? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bring out their host by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. That's who God is. So you and I can sit back and say, we're okay. He cares for you. Does a sparrow fall to the ground, Jesus said, he not knows it altogether, does it? And yet every hair of your head is numbered. And he says, are you not more important and of more value than the sparrow? He cares about you. The Bible says now, for final thoughts, his calling. The Bible says, starting in verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, why speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? We learn from their nonsense. Do you know, you and I, we can't say God didn't hear our prayers. Do you realize we got 4 years of Trump? We got 4 years. That was a miracle in its own self. Hillary would have been in. Where would we be today for 4 years of Hillary Clinton? And all the stuff we now know from the fact that the chest has been opened and all the emails have been exposed and all of the bad people behind the scenes. And there we have a segment of society that have only one thing they hold on to the point where they can't see the corruption. Even the Biden tapes. And you know, the only thing I can say to you this morning is God is in control. He did hear our prayers. And in fact, we could say he did win if we're right in saying this thing is being stolen. So he answered our prayers. But you know what else he did? He brought down our heads. Why? Because we've done a lot of really bad things. We've done a lot of bad things. We shut down his church. You shut down my church? You shut down my church? Listen, that can't happen. He that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of my eye. How much more for Jesus? That's the Father talking, if you will. Israel is the Father's wife, we're told in the Old Testament. But we're the bride of Christ. The Father wanted a wife for his son, so he got the Gentiles. I want you to know they shut down his church. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Jesus was already ascended. He was persecuting the church. Yes. And we are the body of Christ. The Bible says, you say, my way is hid. Your way is not hid. My way is not hid. God knows it all. Why do you speak, my way is hid, and say, judgment is passed over? God's judgment's not passed over. He's just ramped up the game. You know, this is all for our betterment. You know, when you get done with the love affair that we have for the world, we're going to be better. We're going to be more at peace. We're going to be more calm, you know, and enjoy the simple things like maybe your loved ones. Maybe just being able to sit and worship Jesus in a little song in your living room on a rocking chair in peace without watching a TV show, because now everybody on there is icky because they've all been the people who you've been watching. And now you know what they're like and what they really did. And how they took their money and their influence and they overthrew the country, land that I love. Wow. The Bible says in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God fainteth not, neither is weary? He's not tired. He didn't miss this. The Bible says there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, literally the word for wait has the idea of being entwined with him, to be bound to him by twisting, some understandings of it. It has the idea of twisting together. Waiting on the Lord is being connected to him. The Bible says that we are his body. The Bible says that he will never leave us. The Bible says that we are in his hand and we're in the Father's hand and nobody can pluck us out of his hand. We are his. You can't get to us. The Israelites don't know that. So he says, they that wait upon the Lord, think in terms of a fast track for the tribulation saints. They're going to think, wow, this is terrible. I'm in a hillside. I'm in a cave, man. This is the 21st century. I'm running from the Antichrist. This is crazy. God knows where you are. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a promise. to Israel primarily, but also to you and me, inadvertently. We're watching their narrative just like we always have. These things are written for our instruction, for our learning. If you want to know what verse in the New Testament answers to this, Romans chapter 8 says this in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." Do you hope for Jesus to come? Do you hope for a heavenly city? Do you hope for a rapture of the church? Do you hope for a day when we will be in the millennial kingdom and rule and reign with Him? Do you hope for a missing of the gateway of death? Do you hope for a twinkling of an eye to come? I do. I want to go with the undertaker, not the undertaker. I'm going with Jesus. Okay, that's what I want. But that passage does not end there. It says we hope for this thing and we hope for it patiently. We begin to say, okay, I'm drilling down on my faith. I got this. I got this. God's got me. I'm good. I got some comfort. I got cleansing. I got His coming. I got counsel from Him. I see how He is. I see what He's created. And I see His calling. His calling is to go through. And when you go through, He'll give you the strength. Even though you want to faint, He will renew you day by day. Verse 29 of the book of Romans chapter 8 says this, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." He's conforming you and me right now more than ever. It says that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brethren. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified." Past tense, already home, already in, seated with Christ in the heavenly places. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" How good is that? It gets better. "Who shall lay anything against the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written," listen to this, "for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." God says, "I'm willing for that. I love those people." And you're willing for it too because you love me. It says, "Nay, in all these things," even in the slaughter, it says, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Woo! Man, just shout a little bit, will you? Give me something. Amen. Oh, that's good stuff right there. It doesn't get any better. That's the top of the mountain right there. I can't do any better. I'm just reading it. But it's good stuff. I'm telling you what, we have nothing to worry about here. We need to pray. We need to get considering of what we need to do with good, sound insight and discernment. There's going to be that going to be called on us to have. But you and I are okay. We're not worried about us. We're worried about our kids and our grandkids and our loved ones and our neighbors. We need to recognize the game is afoot if this thing goes as it seems to be. And if it doesn't, if something by some miracle, if God brings in some kind of courts or legislatures or electors who do some things that just baffle everybody, things go upside down from that, then we need to be wise there too. But the real key is the world's getting an on-display picture of what it looks like when two kingdoms collide. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we who are of the light walk as in the day. And that day's not going to overtake us as a thief. We know it's coming. We know it's coming. But we need to care about our loved ones. And first and foremost, we need to make sure we're going to heaven. If you're not saved, you need to be. Man, you need to run to Jesus. Because He's the only one who's going to make sense of this. Would you bow with me for just a minute?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.